Greetings, friends, and welcome to another broadcast of the Old School Primitive Baptist with Elder Don Martin, Sr. Stay tuned for another gospel message of God's free and sovereign grace.
Well, I have been blessed to once again come and be among you. And it seems like that the house is growing in people. We've got quite a few here this morning compared to what we've had in various times past. And that's a good sign, I believe. And it is my prayer that you're here and are given hearing ears to hear the truth of the Holy Scriptures, and that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can assure you one thing, that God has determined you to be here today. Now, some would say, well, wait a minute, I could be doing something else. I could be boating, I could be out on the Suwannee fishing, and doing this and doing that. And I said, well, why ain't you? Why ain't you there? Because God's got you here. He's determined you to be here. And there's a divine purpose for you being here this morning. And I don't know what it all is and what it's about, but I do know one thing, that you're here as a walking, breathing, mortal body in this place here for a divine purpose. Now, what Brother Al had set forth from the Old Testament teachings and writings of the Scriptures from the prophets of old and regarding the names of God, I thought was very unique. I had not revealed a number of those names that have been listed there in the original language as they were set forth.
Probably more.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, I've been familiar with Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah God, Jehovah Tiskenu, and Jehovah Jireh, and then other names of God that have come out of the Hebrew and out of the names that Israel had given unto the Lord God. But there were a number there that I had not certainly been acquainted with that I thought was profitable this morning. Well, the entire Word of God, the Old Testament and the New, in its entirety, is profitable. And that proves it once again this morning. It is profitable. The Bible says, and in the New Testament, that it is profitable for us, and it is as an example of things in times past, as how God had dealt with His people, Israel, and also for our understanding of how God had dealt with them, and having a more clear understanding and revelation of how God is dealing with us today. As we look in the history of times past, as God dealt with His people, Israel, and now as He deals with us in these latter times, in the fullness of time, God deals with His Israel. The Israel of God today is the New Covenant Church. We are the Israel of God. Now, if you're here this morning and you have a blessed hope in Jesus Christ, and you have been revealed Him as the only Savior of your soul and Redeemer from sin's dread curse, you are a spiritual Jew in the eyes of the Almighty. You are a chosen heir of grace, adopted into the family of God. You are a spiritual Israel, Paul says in Galatians. Now, regarding the names that Brother Al had used there, as unique and revealing as they were, of all the names that have been set forth and that we have been revealed, The Bible says now in the fullness of these times that we're in now, right now, and in these last days which we're in right now, that there is one name.
Yes.
Whoa, God give us ears to hear me this morning. There is one name that is given above all those names, Brother Michael. That is superior and above all of them, and it's found in the book of Philippians, as Brother Mike has went through in times past. You're familiar with this verse. I'm going to read it to you. If you want to turn to it, do so. Philippians chapter 2, and in verse 9, it says this. Wherefore, God also had highly exalted him being Jesus Christ, and given him a name which is above, higher than. It says, giving him a name that is above every name. Every name that we can come up with in the Old Covenant Testament and in the New Testament as well, there is no name that is higher than the name of Jesus Christ. That Emmanuel one, God with us, who has manifested himself through the person of Christ as mortal man and deity robed in flesh. The Bible says that there is no other name given among men greater than this one whose name is Jesus Christ. And listen to this. And that at the name of Jesus, not any other name now, as important and as blessed as they are, as blessed as Jehovah is, and Elohim, and Yahweh, and all the other names that they called him in the Old Covenant, under the Old Testament, that at the name of Jesus, that's going to be the name whereby every knee, not some knees, not just a few folks, but it says every knee. That means every mortal man, woman, boy, and girl ever been born of woman in the general resurrection on the return of Jesus Christ when he shall call with that voice of an archangel and the trump of God, the dead to be raised from the grave and be before God Almighty, that every knee shall bow. And it says that they're going to bow and they're going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They may not believe it in this time world. They may not believe it today. They may not believe it next week or when they are taken out of this life and they take their last breath. They may not believe it. But in the day of the resurrection, when every knee bows, they're going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory and to the honor of God the Father. He's going to be glorified in that. That the wheat and the tares who have grown together, and the sheep and the goats that have mingled around together in life's realm down here below in this mortal realm, and one day we're all going to bow. And honor Christ. And of course, we that have been the chosen elect, heirs of grace, appointed and predestined by God's divine decrees to be His children in this time world, we can already bow the knee and confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to do it today, aren't we, brethren? We have prayed some this morning already, brother, and given God due homage and glory to His holy name, for He is worthy. He alone is worthy of praise and honor. We've been revealed that by divine grace. We've been revealed that by the Holy Spirit of God Almighty. And I'll say this, that though I know without a shadow of a doubt we're here this morning by divine appointment, unless God give you a hearing ear, unless He open your ears up to hear the truth of the Word of God, it shall be of no avail here for you today. Now, you notice I said for you today. that it might be to some good in the future. Because Brother Michael preached yesterday in a meeting we was in about how God prepares His people down through time, that when He quickens them and brings them to an enlightening truth of the gospel, and they see Jesus Christ as their only help for a needy and poor sinners, then there's a reflection back of what they had heard in times past that they did not were not cognitive in the spiritual realm before, because they didn't have a spiritual mind. Our spiritual minds are dead in trespasses and sins, Brother Bobby, by nature and in depraved condition. But when God quickens us and makes us alive by the Spirit and causes us to be born again, and we become new creatures in Christ Jesus, then those things past were all part of God's preparation.
That's right.
And we can reflect back, and we have flashbacks of things. Do you know, listen to me a minute here, you young children, bless your hearts, you're here this morning, you young men and women here. You know, I went to a little Sunday school in a little town in Indiana when I was brought up, when I was about 9, 10 years old. And I can remember looking at them little Sunday school brochures that had pictures of this so-called Jesus on it. And I can remember that this is a particular one where He was holding a little lamb in His arms. I didn't mean a thing. I thought, well, that was nice, that was sweet and all that. And then the little boy, I thought that was all right. And happy Sunday school, da-da-da-da-da. Jesus loves me, yes, I know. Well, the Bible tells me so. That's all I do about it. Well, time went on, and I never darkened the door of a church from the time I was 11 years old until I was 27 years old when God got a hold of my heart. But let me tell you something. When God got a hold of me at 27 years old, Brother Joshua, I had flashbacks of Jesus on that little Sunday school brochure as one standing there holding that little lamb. And I was that little lamb. I see myself in that little lamb, Brother Mike.
Amen.
And all the things I heard about Jesus in times past, it made no mind to me. I didn't have a mind to be able to perceive it. But yet, in God's divine preparation, it began to mean something to me. And that's why I say that those who come to church and are here, you may not really know why you're here. I mean, you may say, well, I'm here because my dad and mom make me come here. Well, praise God that they have. Praise God for mothers and fathers who are obedient to God to bring their children up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Because let me tell you something, as long as you're drawing a breath, as it is held in the hands of the Almighty, the Bible says, there is hope for you. That in time that God would maybe quicken and awaken you to the truth, and all these things you've been hearing through time is going to come to some great fruition and manifest wonderful evidence of salvation's experience so rich and so free by God's sovereign grace and loving mercy. Oh, it is a fact, brother. I can experientially tell you about it. It is not. I'm not telling you something that I've just read in some book about somebody else. I'm talking to you about this preacher man.
Amen.
This one here that had been called of God into the kingdom of God's dear Son, translated there by a work of sovereign free grace, apart from anything that I did. I didn't make a decision for Jesus. I didn't come under some invitational plea. God had taken and gracefully, gently revealed to me my needy, sinful self, and showed me that Christ was the only antidote for my situation. And only by His sacrificial work on the cross of Calvary was there ever going to be any hope for me. And He caused me to believe that.
Yes,
He caused me to believe that. Unless God caused you to believe the gospel, good news of Jesus Christ as though the only Savior of sinners, dear friend, I can tell you this, you'll never believe it. That's all you may give lip service to. You'll never believe it to the changing of the heart and to the desire and to the love of God as one who has been revealed it and quickened by His Holy Spirit and brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son.
Brother Don, he's our only hope.
Sister, that's a true thing. He is our only hope. Amen. The Bible says that David penned, he says, the Lord is my expectation. He was David's expectation. That's all David had to hang on to. As godly of a man as David was in his thoughts and heart and intents, who was a man after God's own heart, yet he found himself sinful in his activity with Bathsheba in an adulterous situation, taking Bathsheba, this adulterous experience that he was wrapped up into, and took her husband and had him murdered. He didn't want to do it himself and be guilty of the shedding of the blood there to where he would be manifested as to all around about his household and kingdom as the killer of the man. He had somebody else do the dirty work. He said, take that man, take him and put him up in the front lines of the battle to where he would be killed. And they did so. They ordered him to go out and fight. And he went out as a valiant warrior for David. He went out because he loved David. He went out there and did what David told him to do. In God's divine predestined design, he went out there and was killed that the blood would be on David's hands before God Almighty. He had him killed. He committed adultery. This is a man that was after God's own heart. But look what he penned out of 150 Psalms. Of much of it is remorse. Much of it is contrition. Much of it is the love of God expressed from a man who found himself needy and helpless.
Yes.
And his only hope was in God Almighty's mercy. For he says, the Lord God is my expectation.
Yes.
In John's Gospel, Jesus, he says, as he was speaking to a bunch of blind Jews that was criticizing him, and they condemned him, and they wanted to kill him on a couple occasions. One occasion they wanted to throw him over a cliff, and the Bible says he just departed out of their presence. Let me tell you something. They're not dealing with just some prophet walking along the road that was a religious Jew. They were dealing with God in the flesh. They were dealing with Jesus Christ, the God-man. And when it came time for him to be taken out of the situation, he just departed out of their presence. On the road to Emmaus, he came and went among the presence of the disciples who were walking to Emmaus, and made his presence there seen, but they didn't know it was Christ because he disguised himself in a supernatural way. He didn't have no hood over him and all this business, I don't believe. I think they just walked along and didn't pay no recognition that God had blinded their eyes to his demeanor and his personal appearance. And he just went along talking to them until the time come where God opened their hearts up and had all this they said amongst themselves. Oh, did not our hearts burn within us as this one spoke to us about the things of the Lord and the Spirit. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ, as he preached to them and spoke to them, that he opened up the scriptures unto them from all the way back, from the Psalms and on all the way up through, and how he was manifested as the God who has now come in the fullness of the flesh as the very image of the invisible God, Jesus Christ. The Bible says this in John chapter 8, verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Jesus preached on numerous occasions in his, say, three and a half year journey around about the regions and geographical areas where he ministered. There were multitudes of times. I mean, I'm talking about no doubt there was maybe hundreds, maybe even more than that on occasions that hurt him. But yet he said to those that were in his presence, he said, "Why do you not understand my speech?" And then he went ahead and answered the question with this answer. He says, "Even because you cannot hear my word. You cannot understand what I'm saying," Jesus said, "because you cannot hear my word." And I can say the same thing as the messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You cannot hear the words that I'm relaying to you about the gospel and about Jesus Christ if you're not of God. The Bible says, I believe it's in John. I believe John 18. He said, Jesus said that. So let me see if I can put my finger on it. It was in 17. He said that the righteous father. I can't put my finger on the verse right now. But he says that they cannot receive the truth because they're not of the truth. That's the paraphrase of the verse. Are you of the truth today? Are you of the truth? Can you receive the truth today? I don't know if you can or not. And God only knows. Can you hear God today? Do you understand anything that I have said thus far? Or is it just religious speaking? Or has it entered into the heart of man? Jesus said, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me."
Yes.
Now, I have heard people tell me that in historical times past and in some readings past, there have been people that have believed in the election of God to the extent that they would teach that God has elected people out of every tongue, kindred, and nation, and these people that He has elected, even though they are in far lands and in East African Mau Mau regions of Nigeria, wherever, that are of the elect of God, that have never heard the gospel and never know who Jesus is in this time world, but yet they're going to be taken into heaven because they are of the elect. Now, I'm going to tell you, I believe that is a lie.
That's right.
Because the Bible says that Jesus said, "Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father is going to come to me." They're going to hear about the Father, God Almighty, and they're going to come to the Son. And you say, "Well, what do you mean? What if they've never had nobody go preach to them?" God's going to send somebody to preach to them. They're not going to wake up in heaven after their mortal life is taken out of the realm here below and say, "Well, whoa, where am I at there? Oh, who's this guy here that is dressed in white raiment and his brilliance of his glory is overwhelming to my eye? Who is he?" Oh, no! That is stupidity and in biblical ignorance. Let me tell you something. They're going to know who Jesus is. And they're going to know Him, I believe, in this life, Brother Michael, because God has called His elect children, predestined them, ordained them, appointed them, called them and chosen them, brother, for the simple fact that He has got to have a witness in this time world of His grace, His love, and His mercy, and it's going to be called the church. church of Jesus Christ. It is His bride. Therefore, what would be the purpose of God electing somebody and not revealing Christ to them until they get to heaven? It is not biblically sound. There's no purpose. The Bible says in Acts that when the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, that ye shall be, not you're going to try to be, or you're going to work to be by some duty, works, or obligation, but ye shall be witnesses unto me. You're going to witness the fact that Christ is Lord and Savior, and you're going to be a testimony of that fact in this world, in your walk and in your talk, because God said you would be. There is no secret agents in the kingdom of God. They're all going to be revealed, sheep walking, listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd as He calls them unto Himself, and to do the things that He wants them to do in obedience as He performs in them through the Spirit of God Himself, who works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. Because He that's begun this good work in us shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That is a true statement, and I solely rely on that too, Sister Sheila. Not only is He our hope, but He is our sufficiency, and He is our performer. If He doesn't perform it in us, we have no witness. Do we?
That's right.
If He don't perform in us by His Spirit, causing us to manifest ourselves as believers in Christ and of righteous works which are only wrought about by the Spirit of God, then we have no witness in this world. But I am persuaded by the Word of God that He will have a witness until the very last day, until He comes back and brings time to a close. And He calls the grave to open up, and the world shall be taken, and as the Bible says, the elements thereof shall be burnt up with a fervent heat, and all things shall be burnt up. I mean, everything that man has ever laid a hand on to make, invent, or to come up with is going to be burned up and all be melted into the basic elements of where they come from. We got plastics, we got metals, we have got rubber tires, we've got glass windows. It's all going to go back to the basic elements as burnt with a fervent heat so intense that it's all going to be destroyed, and every effort of man and all of their designs and intents and inventions will be destroyed. No man shall glory for anything, because it'll all be made anew again. Oh, where that new holy city, Jerusalem, shall come and take its place, where that God's people shall dwell with Him forever and eternity. Oh, are you looking for that? Or you don't know? Well, I pray that God, by His Spirit, shall cause you to know this Jesus that I have been talking to you about. He's the only one that can cause you to know Him.
Yes.
He's the only one that can reveal to Him who He is, who He really is. He's not just some man in the sky that is some mystical thing. He is a Savior of sinners. Yes. And if you're poor and needy, and you feel that your sins overwhelm you, and you can't stand before God justified, all I can say is flee unto the Lord Jesus Christ. All I can say to you is to look unto Jesus, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. That's all I can say. That's all I know to say. I can't do no more than that. All the rest, the workings of salvation is wrought about in the heart by the Spirit of God. All I am is a messenger boy of a gospel which I've been persuaded to believe. That's the bottom line. God bless you, brother. Thank you for letting me be here and just stand in this pulpit. Thank you for your fellowship this weekend. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and all friends and folks are here, I love you in Christ Jesus. And don't forget that. I love all of you. And may God bless us in the days ahead to be testimonies and witnesses of His so great salvation, so rich and so free.